Ladies and gentlemen, we have great pleasure in presenting Peter Pratt, Patricia Routledge, Jane Wenham, Dennis Quilly, Barry Ingham, Alan Dudley, and Betty Huntley Wright in Sheridan's comic operetta, The Duenna, with music specially composed by Julian Slade. The Duenna.
One of my regular dispositions to be strolling like a bravo through the streets of Seville. Well, of all services, to serve a young lover is the hardest. Not that I'm an enemy to love, but my love and my master's Don Ferdinand differ strangely. He is much too gallant to eat, drink, or sleep. Now, my love gives me an appetite. Then I'm fond of dreaming of my mistress, and I love dearly to toast her. But this cannot be done without good sleep and good liquor. Hence my partiality to a feather bed and a bottle. There, well, I have no further time for reflections. My master expects thee, honest Lopez, to secure his retreat from Donna Clara's window. Oh, here's Don Antonio, my master's friend. Come with this masquerade. Serenade my young mistress, Donna Luisa, I suppose.
Oh, shall the old gentleman up presently. Lest he should miss his son, I'd best lose no time of getting my post.
So gently sleep thy master's pain, so softly sing, so humbly sigh, that all my sleeping love shall know who sings, who sighs below. A rose's slumbers shall not fly. Thus may some bidden whisper more than ever I dare speak before. Thus may some vision whisper more than ever I dare speak before. So tell me, my lute can buy soft strains. So
will never wake while you sing so dolefully. Love, like a cradle infant, is lulled by a sad melody.
I do not wish to disturb her rest, Carlos.
Ah, because you know she does not regard you enough to appear if you did wake her.
Well, I'll convince you.
The breath of morn bids hence the night unveil those beauteous eyes, my fair. For till the dawn of love is there, I feel no day, I own no light. For till the dawn of love, I feel no day, I own no light.
Waking, I heard thy numbers chide. Waking, the dawn did bless my sight.
I hear telling, fluting, rhyming, ranting, piping, scraping, whining, panting, fly,
scurvy minstrels, fly, fly, scurvy minstrels, fly.
Let me be far, why so far?
An humble lover, I
test you, daughter, lend an ear to such a heedful star. Quick from the window, dive.
Had you
Master. I think that a little sleep, once in a week or so...
Oh, peace, fool. Don't mention sleep to me.
Oh, no, sir. I don't mean your low-bred, vulgar, sound sleep. But I can't help thinking that a gentle slumber or half an hour's dozing, if it were only for the novelty of the thing.
Peace, booby, I say. Oh, Clara, Clara, dear, cruel disturber of my rest.
And of mine, too.
To trifle with me at such a juncture as this. Ha! Love me, I don't believe she ever did.
Nor I either.
Is there in the world so inconstant a creature as Clara?
You know, I could name one.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes. The tame fool who submits to her caprice.
You know, I thought he couldn't miss it.
Is she not capricious, teasing, tyrannical, obstinate, perverse, absurd?
Yes.
Aye, a wilderness of faults and follies. Her looks of scorn and her very smiles. Death, I wish I hadn't mentioned her smile.
Ooh.
She does smile with such beaming loveliness, such fascinating brightness. Oh, death and madness. I shall die if I lose her.
Oh, these damned smiles have undone all.
Oh, here comes Don Antonio, sir.
Oh, well, you go home. I shall be there presently.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, those cursed smiles.
Oh, good day, sir.
Good day, Lopez.
Ah, Ferdinand! Antonio! My good friend Lopez tells me he left you serenading my sister before our door, and that my father was waiting.
Yes, he has a singular affection for music, so I left him roaring at his window. And what brings you out so early?
Well, I believe I told you that tomorrow was the day fixed by Don Pedro for Clara to enter a convent.
Oh, yeah.
Made something desperate by this, I procured a key to the door and bribed Clara's maid to leave it unbolted. At 2 this morning, I entered, unperceived, and stole to her chamber.
Uh-huh.
I found her waking and weeping.
Happy Ferdinand!
Death! Hear the conclusion! I was rated a confident ruffian for daring to approach her room at that hour of night.
Aye, this was at first.
No such thing. She would not hear a word from me, but threatened to raise her mother if I did not instantly leave her.
Well, but at last...
At last? Well, I was forced to leave the house as I came in.
Did you do nothing to offend her?
Nothing, as I hoped to be saved. Well, I believe I might snatch a dozen or two of kisses.
Well, was that all? Well, I never heard of such assurance.
Zounds, I tell you, I behave with the utmost respect.
Oh, Lord, I don't mean you, but in her. But harky, Ferdinand, did you leave your key with them?
Yes, the maid who saw me out took it from the door.
Then my life for it, Clara elopes after you.
Aye. Perhaps to bless some rival.
Hmm?
I'm in humor to suspect everybody.
Everybody?
Yes. You loved her once and thought her an angel, as I do now.
Yes, I loved her till I found she wouldn't love me, and then I discovered that she hadn't a good feature in her face. I ne'er could any luster see in eyes that would not look on me. I ne'er saw nectar on a lip, but where my own did hope to sip.
The maid who seeks my heart, cheeks of rose untouched by art.
I will own the colour true when yielding blushes aid their hue.
Is her hand so soft and pure?
I must press it to be sure.
Nor can I be certain then, till it grateful press again.
Must I, with attentive eye, watch her heaving bosom sigh? I will do so. Besides, Ferdinand, you have the full security in my love for your sister Louisa. Help me there, and I can never disturb you with Clara.
As far as I can, consistently with the honor of our family, you know I will. But There must be no eloping.
And yet now you would carry off Clara.
Well, now, that's a different case. We never mean that other people should act to our sisters and wives as we do to others. Oh. And tomorrow, Clara is to be forced into a convent.
Well, and am not I so unfortunately circumstanced? Tomorrow, your father forces Louisa to marry Isaac the Portuguese. Mm. But come with me, and we'll devise something. I want...
Antonio?
Yes?
If you did not love my sister Louisa, you have too much honor and friendship to supplant me with Clara.
My dear Ferdinand, I have too much honor in my love for your sister and too much friendship to supplant you with anyone. Come!
There's always a levity in Antonio's manner of replying to me on this subject that is very alarming. If Clara should love him after all.
Though cause for suspicion appears, yet proofs of a love true are strong. I'm a wretch if I'm right in my fears, and unworthy of bliss if I'm wrong. What heartbreaking torments from jealousy flow, are none but the jealous can know. None but the jealous can know, are none but the jealous can know. None but the jealous can know. And I wonder, I prize them no more. From whence can I hope for relief from my woe, when the falser she seems, still the fonder I'll grow. The falser she seems, the fonder I'll grow. The fonder I'll grow.
Everything is prepared. And for the rest, we must trust to fortune.
My father's oath was never to see me until I had consented.
Thus I overheard him say to his friend Don Guzman, I will demand of her tomorrow, once for all, whether she will consent to marry Isaac Mendoza. If she hesitates, I will make a solemn oath never to see or speak to her till she returns to her duty. Those were his words.
And on his known obstinate adherence to what he has once said, you have formed this plan for my escape.
Child.
Oh, but have you secured my maid in our interest?
She is a party in the whole. But remember, if we succeed, you resign all rights and title in little Isaac over to me.
That I do with all my soul. Get him if you can, and I shall wish you joy most heartily. He is 20 times as rich as my poor Antonio. Thou canst not go to fortune.
hear Don Jerome coming. Oh. Quick, give me the last letter I brought you from Antonio.
Yes, yes, here it is.
You know that it is to be the ground of my dismissal. I shall slip out quietly this way to seal it up as undelivered.
But, Ferdinand, I suppose you have been serenading too, eh? Disturbing some peaceable neighborhood with a villainous catgut and lascivious pipe.
Sir, I protest.
Now, John, just set your sister here a vile example.
Oh, Father.
But I come to tell you, madam, that I'll suffer no more of these midnight incantations, these amorous orgies that steal the senses in the hearing. Egyptian embalmers serve mummies so, extracting the brain through the ears. Oh. However, there's an end of your frolics. Isaac Mingdoja will be here presently, and tomorrow you shall marry him.
Never, while I have life.
Indeed, sir, I wonder how you can think of such a man for a son-in-law.
So you're very kind to favor me with your sentiments, and pray, what is your objection to him?
Huh? Well, he's a Portuguese.
Bah, no such thing, boy. He has forsworn his country. Anything more?
He has the worst fault a husband can have. He's not my choice.
Very well, ma'am. Then mark me. Never more will I see or converse with you till you return to your duty. No reply. This and your chamber shall be your apartment. I never will stir out without leaving you under lock and key. And when I'm at home, no creature can approach you but through my library. Yes. We'll try who can be most obstinate. Out of my sight. There remain until you know your duty.
Surely, sir, my sister's inclination should be consulted in a matter of this kind. And some regard paid to Don Antonio, being my particular friend.
That doubtless is a very great recommendation. I certainly haven't paid sufficient respect to it.
Well, there's not a man living I'd sooner choose for a brother-in-law.
Very possibly. And if you happen to have heir a sister who is not at the same time a daughter of mine, I'm sure I shall have no objection to the relationship. For the present, if you please, we'll drop the subject.
Nay, sir, it is only my regard for my sister makes me speak.
Then pray, sir, in future, little regard for your father. Make you hold your tongue.
I have done, sir. I shall only add a wish that you would reflect what at our age you would have felt had you been crossed in your affection for the mother of her you are so severe to.
I must confess I had a great affection for your mother's ducats, but that was all, boy. I married her for her fortune, and she took me in obedience to her father. And a very happy couple we were. So, good son, if you have any lecture in support of disobedience to give your sister, it must be brief. I shall now go and get the key of this dressing room, so make the best of your time. Do you hear?
I fear, indeed, my friend Antonio has little to hope for. However, Louisa has firmness, and my father's anger will probably only increase her affection. In our intercourse with the world, it is natural for us to dislike those who are innocent to the cause of our distress. But in the heart's affections, a woman never loves a man with ardor till she has suffered for his sake.
What?
Huh? What bustle is here? Between my father and the duenna, too. Eileen, get out of the way.
I'm astonished. I'm thunderstruck. Oh. This letter you hold. Treachery and conspiracy with a vengeance. You, Antonio's creature and chief manager of this plot for my daughter's eloping. You that I placed here as a scarecrow.
What?
A scarecrow to prove a decoy duck. What have you to say for yourself?
Well, sir, since you have forced that letter from me and discovered my real sentiments, I scorn to renounce them. I am Antonio's friend, and it was my intention that your daughter should have served you, as all such old tyrannical sots should be served.
Oh.
I delight in the tender passions, and would befriend all under their influence.
The tender passions! Yes, they would become those impenetrable features. Why, thou deceitful hag!
Oh.
I placed thee as a guard to the rich blossoms of my daughter's beauty. I thought that dragon front of thine would cry aloof to the sons of gallantry, steel traps and spring gown seem writ in every wrinkle of it. But you shall quit me house this instant. Go, thou wanton sibyl, thou amorous woman of Endor, go!
You base, scurrilous old! But I won't demean myself by naming what you are.
Ah.
Yes, savage! Oh. I'll leave your den, but I suppose you don't mean to detain me apparel. I may have me things, I presume.
I took your mistress with but your wardrobe on. What have you pilfered, eh?
Sir, I must take leave of my mistress. She has valuables of thine. Besides, I have a cardinal and veil in her room.
Your veil, forsooth, what you dread being gazed at? Why, you're afraid of your complexion. Well, go and take your leave and get your veil and cardinal. So, to quit the house within these 5 minutes. In, quick. Here was a precious plot of mischief. These are the comforts daughters bring us.
If a daughter you have, she's the plague of your life.
no peace shall you know, though you've buried your wife. At 20 she mocks at the duty you've taught her. Oh, what a plague is an obstinate daughter. Sighing and whining, dying and pining, pining, dying, whining and sighing. Oh, what a plague is an obstinate daughter. Sighing and whining, dying and pining. Oh, what a plague is an obstinate daughter. Plague on me, obstinate daughter.
When scarce in their teens they have wit to perplex us, with letters and lovers forever they vex us, while each still rejects the fair suit you brought her.
Oh, what a plague is an obstinate daughter. Wrangling and jangling, flouting and pouting, pouting and flouting, and jangling and wrangling. Oh, what a plague is an obstinate daughter. Wrangling and jangling, flouting and pouting. Oh, what a plague is an obstinate daughter. Plague of the obstinate daughter.
My father will not pierce my disguise, my old duenna. I find the fault to weep.
Ah, this way, mistress, this way. What I warrant a tender parting. So, tears of turpentine down those deal cheeks. you may well hide your head. Yes, whine till your heart breaks. But I'll not hear one word of excuse for your right to be dumb. Come, mistress, there is your way. The world lies before you. So troop, thou antiquated Eve, thou original sin. Now go!
So speed you well, sagacious Don Jerome. Now, while my mistress Louisa plays my part masked by a veil, now shall I try whether I can't play the fine lady as well as her. And if I succeed, I may be a fine lady for the rest of my life. I'll lose no time to equip myself.
So, I am rid of her, thank heaven. And now I shall be able to keep me oath and confine Louisa with better security. Wrangling and jangling, flouting and pouncing, pouting and flouting, and jangling and wrangling. Oh, what a plague is an obstinate daughter. Plague on me, obstinate daughter.
Where, madam, is it you intend to go?
Anywhere to avoid the selfish violence of my stepmother and Ferdinand's insolent importunity.
Indeed, ma'am, since we have profited by Don Ferdinand's key in making our escape, I think we'd best find him, if it were only to thank him.
No, he has offended me exceedingly. Let us walk away.
So, I have succeeded in being turned out of doors. But how shall I find Antonio? I dare not inquire for him for fear of being discovered. I would send to my friend, Clara, but I doubt that her prudery would condemn me.
Then suppose, ma'am, you were to try if your friend Donna Louisa would not receive you.
No. Louisa's notions of filial duty are so severe, she would certainly betray me.
Clara is of a cold temper and would think this step of mine highly forward.
Louisa's respect for her father is so great, she would not credit the unkindness of mine.
Widowed. Oh, one is Clara. If it be, I'll trust her.
Clara? Oh, Louisa! Took you for your duenna.
Hmm?
Your masquerade.
All the veil. Yes, yes, and you will be more surprised when I tell you that I have run away from my father.
Surprised, indeed. And I should certainly chide you most horridly, only that I have just run away from mine.
My dear Clara.
Yes, Sister Truant. And whither are you going?
To find the man I love, to be sure.
Oh.
Ah. And I presume you would have no aversion to meet with my brother.
Indeed I should.
Oh.
He has behaved so ill to me. I don't believe I shall ever forgive him.
When sable night, each drooping plant restoring, with all the flowers her breath did cheer, as some said widow, a babe deploring, would wear
To plead his pardon, but that I would not yet a while have him know of my flight. And where do you hope to find protection?
Oh, the Lady Abbess of the Convent of St. Catherine is a relation and a kind friend of mine. I shall be secure with her, and you had best go with me.
Oh, no. I am determined to find Antonio first. And, as I live, here comes the very man I will employ to seek him for me.
No, Carlos, my beard is elegant. But, Signor Isaac, it is impossible.
Who is he? He's a strange figure.
Yes, that sweet creature is Isaac Mendoza, the man whom my father has fixed on for my husband.
And will you speak to him? Are you mad?
He is the fittest man in the world for my purpose, for though I was to have married him tomorrow, he is the only man in Seville who I'm sure never saw me in his life.
And how do you know him?
Well, he arrived but yesterday, and he was shown to me from the window as he visited my father.
Mm. Well, I'll be glad.
Hold, my dear Clara. I thought has struck me. Will you give me leave to borrow your name as I see occasion?
It will disgrace you, but use it as you please. I dare not stay. But Louisa, If you should see your brother, be sure you don't inform him that I have taken refuge with the Dame Prior of the Convent of St. Catherine on the left-hand side of the piazza which leads to the Church of St. Anthony.
I will be very particular in my directions where he may not find you. So, my swain yonder has done admiring himself and draws nearer.
I tell you, friend Carlos, I will please myself in the habit of my chin.
But, my dear friend, how can you think to please a lady with such a face?
Why, what's the matter with the face? I think it is a very engaging face, and I am sure a lady must have very little taste who could dislike my beard.
Senor?
See now, I'll die if here is not a little damsel struck with it already.
Senor, are you disposed to oblige a lady who greatly wants your assistance?
Gad, a very pretty black-eyed damsel. She's certainly taken a fancy to me, Carlos. Senor, of your name.
So, 'tis well I'm provided. My name, sir, is Donna Clara Del Monte.
But, senorita...
What is Don Guzman's daughter?
Hey, I heard just now she was missing.
Oh, but sure, sir, you have too much gallantry and honor to betray.
A passion for me. Poor girl. Why, madam, as for betraying you, I don't see how I could get anything by it, so you may rely on my honor. But as for your love, I am sorry that your case is so desperate.
Oh, why so, sir?
Because I am positively engaged to another, aren't I, Carla?
Why, yes, indeed.
No, but hear me.
No, what should I hear for? It is impossible for me to court you in an honorable way. And as for anything else now, well, I suppose you have some ungrateful brother or cousin who would want to cut my throat for my civility, so truly you had best go home again.
Oh, disrespect. But, sir... It is Antonio de Silla on whose account I have eloped.
What? It is not with me, then, that you are in love?
No, indeed, it is not.
Then you are a forward, impertinent simpleton, and I shall certainly acquaint your father.
Is this your gallantry?
Yes, hold. Antonio de Silla?
Yes.
Egad, Carlos, I may make something of this. Antonio de Silla.
Yes, and if ever you wish to prosper in love, you will bring me to him.
By Saint Iago, and I will too, Carlos. Mm-hmm. This Antonio is one who I have heard rivals me with Louisa. Now, if I could hamper him with this girl, I should have the field to myself, eh, Carlos? It's a lucky thought, isn't it?
Yes, very good indeed.
This little brain is never at a loss. Cunning Isaac, cunning rogue. Donna Clara, will you trust yourself a while to my friend's direction?
May I rely on you, good señor?
Lady, it is impossible that I should deceive you.
Conduct the lady to my lodgings, Carlos. I must make haste to Don Jerome. Perhaps you know Louisa, madam. She is divinely handsome, isn't she?
You must excuse me in not joining with you.
Why, I have heard it on all hands.
Well, her father is uncommonly partial to her, but I believe you will find she has rather a matronly air.
This all is envy. You pretty girls never speak well of one another. Harky Carlos. Find out Antonio, and I'll settle him with this scrape, I warrant. Donna Clara, you're very obedient. Carlos, to your post.
My mistress expects me, and I must go to her, or how can I hope for a smile?
Soon may you return a prosperous wooer, but think what I saw for a while. Alone and away from the man whom I love, in strangers I'm forced to confide. Alone and away from the man whom I love, in strangers I'm forced to confide.
Dear lady, my friend you may trust, and he'll prove your servant, protector, and guide. Dear lady, my friend you may trust, and he'll prove your servant, protector, and guide.
Gentlemen, my wise suspect me, let me serve me, then reject me.
Can I trust, thou deceive me, I am sad and forced, thou grieve me.
Gentlemen, our wise suspect him, let him serve me, then reject him. As thou trust, am I deceive me, I am sad and thou grieve me. As thou trust, am I deceive me, I am sad and thou grieve me.
Never mayst thou happy be.
Never may he happy be, if in aught he's false to thee. Never may I happy be, if in aught I'm false to thee.
Never may I happy be,
if in aught I'm false to thee. Never may I happy be, if in aught I'm false to thee.
Happy, 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 happy.
What, Donna Clara run away from her father? Is she giving him the slip? Poor Don Guthman.
I am to conduct her to Antonio by which means, you see. I shall hamper him so that he can give me no disturbance with your daughter. This is a trick, isn't it? A nice stroke of cunning, eh?
Excellent, excellent. Yes, carry her to him, hamper him by a whole thing. Poor Don Guthman, an old fool, imposed on by a girl.
Nay, they have the cunning of serpents, that's the truth of it.
Yeah, they are cunning only when they have fools to deal with.
True. Aye, let me see any of the fair sex make a fool of me. No, again. Little Solomon, as my aunt used to call me, understands tricking a little too well.
But come, it's time you should see my daughter. You must carry on the siege by yourself, friend Isaac.
But, sir, you will introduce me.
No, I have sworn a solemn oath not to see or speak to her till she renounces her disobedience.
Gad, I shall never be able to deal with her alone. Nothing keeps me in such awe as perfect beauty. Now there is something consoling and encouraging in ugliness. Isaac the nymph, who no beauty can boast, but health and good humor can make her his toast. His fate I don't mind, whether slender or fat, and 6 feet or four will not quarrel for that. Tra-la-la, 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 and 6 feet or four will not quarrel for that. Let her locks be the reddest that ever were seen, and her eyes may be e'en any color but green, be they light gray or black in their luster and hue. I swear I've no choice, only let her have two. Tra-la-la, 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 tra-la-la. I swear I've no choice, only let her have two. It's true I'll dispense with a hump on her back, and white teeth I own are genteeler than black. A little round chin to the beauty I feared, but I only desire that she mayn't have a beard. Tra-la-la, 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 tra-la-la. But I only desire that she mayn't have a beard.
You'll change your note, my friend, when you see Louisa.
Oh, John, you're in the honor of your alliance.
But her beauty will affect you. She is, though I say, who am her father, a very prodigy.
Oh.
There you will see features with an eye like mine. Yes, if there is a kind of wicked sparkling, something of a roguish brightness that shows her to be my own.
Pretty rogue.
Then the roses on those cheeks are shaded with a sort of velvet down that gives a delicacy to the glow of health.
Yeah,
her skin pure dimity, yet more fair, being spangled here and there with a golden freck.
Oh, charming, pretty rogue. Pray, how is the tone of her voice?
Remarkably pleasing, but if you could prevail upon her to sing, you would be enchanted. She is a nightingale, a Virginia nightingale. Come. Her maid shall bring her to this chamber. Loretta!
Very good, I'll pluck up resolution.
I woo her briskly, win her, and give me a proof of your address, eh? My little Solomon.
But hold, I'm expecting a friend to call on me here. One Carlos from the playhouse. If he comes, will you send him to me?
I will. She is a mournful face to make love with. What do you drew for?
I wish I had ever practiced the love scene. I doubt I should make a poor figure. I couldn't be more afraid if I was going before the Inquisition. So the door opens. Yes, it is she. The very rustling of her silk has a disdainful sound. Now, daren't I look round for the soul of me? Her beauty will certainly strike me dumb if I do. I wish she'd speak first.
Sir? I attend your pleasure.
Sir, the ice is broken. Pretty civil beginning, too. Madam, Miss, I'm all attention.
Nay, sir, tis I who should listen and you propose.
Yeah, this ain't so disdainful, neither. I believe I may venture to take a look. No. Again, one glance of those roguish sparklers would transfix me again.
You seem thoughtful, sir. Let me persuade you to sit down.
So she mollifies her face. She struck with my figure. This attitude has had its effect. Madam, the greatness of your goodness overpowers me. That a lady so lovely should deign. I must be resolute and steal a glance. Madam,
You seem surprised at my condescension.
Oh, yes, madam, I am a little surprised by it. Soames, this can never be Louisa. She's as old as my mother.
But... but former prepossessions give way to my father's commands.
A father, yes, then to she. Lord, Lord, how blind some parents are. It is well my affections are fixed on her fortune and not on her person.
Senor, won't you sit?
Madam, I have scarce recovered my astonishment.
What?
At your condescension, madam.
Oh, I do not wonder, sir, that you are surprised at my affability. I own, senor, that I was vastly prepossessed against you. And being teased by my father, I did give some encouragement to Antonio. But then, sir, you were described to me as a quite different person.
Aye, and so you were to me upon my soul, madam.
But when I saw you, I was never more struck in my life.
That was just my case too, madam. I was struck. All on a heap for my part.
Well, sir, I see our misapprehension has been mutual. You expected to find me haughty and adverse.
Oh, no.
And I was taught to believe you were a bony, black, hook-nosed fellow without person, manners, or address.
Gad, I wish you'd answered her picture as well.
Oh, but, sir, your air is noble. Something so liberal in your carriage, with so penetrating an eye, and so bewitching a smile.
Ah, well, Gad, now that I look at her again, I don't think she's so ugly.
So little like your reputation and so much like a gentleman.
Yes, there is certainly something pleasing in the sound of her voice.
You will pardon this breach of decorum in praising you thus, but my joy at being so agreeably deceived has given me such a flow of spirits.
Oh, dear lady, let me thank those dear lips for this goodness. Yes, a pretty sort of velvet down upon the night.
Sir, you have a most insinuating manner. But indeed, you should get rid of that odious beard. One might as well kiss a hedgehog.
Yes, madam, the razor wouldn't be amiss for either of us. Could you favor me with a song?
Willingly.
Very like a Virginian nightingale. Madam, I perceive you are a trifle hoarse. I beg you will not distress yourself.
Oh, not in the least distress. Now, sir. When a tender maid is at first deceived by some admiring sweet, oh, her blushes arise if she meets his eyes while he unfolds his pain. If he takes her hand and she trembles quite, touch her lips and she swoons out loud.
Charming, madam.
But in time appear few signs of fear, the youth she boldly view. If her hand he grasps, or her bosom accepts, no mantling blushes youth. And then to church well pleased the lovers move, while her smiles her contentment
charming, madam. Enchanting, and truly, your notes put me in mind of one that's very dear to me. A lady, indeed, whom you greatly resemble.
Is there then another so dear to you?
Oh, no, madam, you mistake. It was my mother I meant.
Well, I must frankly own to you that I can never be yours with my father's consent.
Good lack. How so?
When my father, in his passion, swore that he would never see me again till I acquiesced in his will, I also made a solemn vow that I would never take a husband from his hand. Nothing shall make me break that oath. But if you had spirit of contrivance enough, without his knowledge, to carry me off, I'm yours. Nay, sir. Nay, if you hesitate.
Faith. No bad wind, this. If I take her at her word, I shall secure her fortune without making any settlement in return. Oh, cunning eyes, a cunning rogue. If I'll take her in mind.
Well, sir, what's your determination?
Madam, I applaud your spirit and joyfully close with your proposal, for which let me on this lily hand express my gratitude.
Well, sir, you must obtain my father's consent to walk with me in the garden. But by no means inform him of my kindness to you.
No, to be sure, that would spoil all. But trust me when tricking is the word. Let me alone for cunning. This very evening you should be conveyed in safety to my house.
Well, I leave the management of it all to you. I perceive plain, sir, that you are not one that can be easily outwitted.
Egad, you're right, madam. Oh. Yes, you're right, indeed.
Object to Antonio? I have said it. His poverty. Can you acquit him of that?
Sir, I own he is not over-rich, but he's of as ancient and honorable a family as any in the kingdom.
Yes, I know the beggars are a very ancient family in most kingdoms, but never in great repute, boy.
Antonio, sir, has many amiable qualities.
But he is poor. Can you clear him of that, I say?
Buy him a
library. Here comes friend Isaac. I hope he's prospered in his suit.
Well, doubtless that agreeable figure of his must have helped his suit surprisingly.
Well, my friend, did you soften her?
Yes, I softened her.
What does she come to?
Why, truly, she was kinder than I expected to find her.
And the dear little angel was civil, eh?
Yes, the pretty little angel was very civil.
I'm transported to hear it. Why, and you were astonished at her beauty, eh?
I was astonished at her beauty. Pray, how old is Miss?
How old? Let me see, 18. She's 20.
20?
Aye, 2 months.
And then, upon my soul, she's the oldest looking girl of her age in Christendom.
Yeah, but I believe we'll not see a prettier girl.
Here and there, one.
Louisa has the family face.
Yes, egad, I should have taken it for the family face. One has been in the family some time, too.
Her aunt Ursula's nose and her grandmother's forehead to a hair.
Aye, hey. And her grandfather's chin to a hair.
And harkee, friend Isaac, she's none of your made-up beauties. Her charms are of a lasting kind.
If they, sir, they need to be. For truly, if she is but 20 now, she may double her years before her age overtake her face.
My Jones, Master Isaac, you're not sneering, I.
Oh, come now, Don Jerome, you don't seriously take your daughter to be handsome.
Well, by these eyes, she's as handsome as any girl in Seville.
Then by these eyes, she's the plainest woman that ever I saw.
Why, Santiago, you must be blind.
No, notice, you are partial.
How? Have I neither sense nor taste? If a fair skin, fine eyes, teeth survive, with a lovely bloom and a delicate shape. If these, with a heavenly voice and the world of grace, are not charms, well, I know not what you call beautiful.
Good lack with what I, the father, sees. As I live, Don Jerome, the very reverse of all this. As for the dimity skin you told me of, I swear it is as thorough and keen as ever I saw.
Oh.
For her eyes, their utmost merit is not squinting. For her teeth, where there is one of ivory, its neighbor is pure ebony, black and white alternatively, just like the keys of a harpsichord. Then for a singing and heavenly voice. Well, upon my soul, she has a shrill, cracked pipe for all the world like a child's trumpet.
Why, you little scoundrel! You mean to insult me? Out of my house, I say, Ferdinand! This Portuguese here has the impudence to say your sister ugly!
Well, he must be either blind or insolent.
So I find they are all in the tale. Egad, I believe I've gone too far.
Sure, sir, there must be some mistake. It can't be my sister whom you've seen.
Yes, you're a greater fool as he. What mistake can there be? Didn't I lock up Louisa and have another key in my pocket? And didn't her maid show him into the dressing room? No! This Portuguese here meant to insult me. But that this roof protects him. Old as I am, the sword should do me justice.
I must get off as well as I can. Still, her fortune is not less handsome.
Believe me,
good sir, I ne'er meant to offend. My mistress I love, and I value my friend. To win her and wed her is still my request. For better, for worse, and I swear I don't jest.
You'd best not provoke me, my rage is so high.
Hold him fast, I beseech you, his rage is so high.
You'd best not provoke me, my rage is so high.
Hold him fast, I beseech you, his rage is so high. Good sir, you're too hot, and this place I must fly.
You're a knave and a sot, and this place you best fly.
I'm a knave and what?
You're a knave and a sot.
And what?
And a sot.
And what?
And a sot.
And this place I must fly. This place I must fly. Believe me, good sir, I ne'er meant to offend. My mistress I love, and I value my friend. To win her and wed her is still my request. For worse, and I swear I don't care.
You're
good, sir, you're the son, and this place I must fly.
You're good, sir, you're the son, and this place I must fly. This place I must fly.
I'm a what?
You're a sot!
Let us leave joking and speak seriously.
I was not sure.
I'll be hanged if you don't take my abuse of your daughter seriously.
You meant it so, did you not?
Oh, mercy, no. A joke.
A joke?
A joke just to see how angry I could make you.
Was that all your face?
Yes, it is.
I didn't know you'd been such a wag. By San Diego, you made me very angry, though. Well, and you do think Louisa handsome?
Handsome? Venus de Medici was a Sibyl to her.
Yeah, give me your hand, you little jocose rogue. Egad, I thought we'd been all off.
Oh, no.
Oh, this gust of passion has made me dry. I'm seldom ruffled. We'll order some wine in the next room. There's a drink the poor girl's health. Poor Louisa. Ugly, eh? It was a very good joke indeed. Come, little Solomon. If any sparks of anger had remained, this would be the only way to quench.
A bumper or good liquor will end the contest quicker than just discharge your vigor. Go fill a cheerful glass and let good humor pass, and let good humor pass.
But if more deep the quarrel,
why sooner drain the barrel
than be the hateful fellow?
Let's grab it when he's mellow.
So fill the cheerful glass and let good humor pass. So fill the cheerful glass and let good humor pass.
A bumper of good liquor will end the contest quicker and just discharge your vicar. So fill the cheerful glass and let good humor pass. So fill the cheerful glass and let good humor pass. And let good humor
I have sent my intended husband to look after my lover. The man of my father's choice is sent to bring me the man of my own. Oh, how dispiriting is this interview of some lover who never had
This way, Senorita.
Oh, thanks, Carlos. And my darling Duenna. Are you here too?
Louisa, what? In Isaac's house? But where is Senor Isaac?
Is Antonio found?
I could not meet with him, lady, but I doubt not that my friend Isaac will be here with him presently.
You have used no diligence.
Is this your courtesy to ladies who trust in your protection?
Indeed, lady, I have not been remiss.
This way I have
her
through here.
But Senor Isaac, I protest.
But my life. Here is Senor Isaac and Antonio with him. Let us retire for a moment to surprise them.
Ah, well, you will have to take my word for it. A friend of mine has brought her.
Indeed, my good friend, you must be mistaken. Clara Del Monte in love with me and employ you to bring me to meet her? It is impossible.
That you shall see in an instant. Carlos?
Senor.
Where is the lady? In the next room, is she?
Yes.
Nay, if that lady is really here, then she desires me to conduct her to a friend of mine who has long been her lover.
Sure. I tell you, it is no such thing. You are the man she wants and nobody but you. He has a fine to do to try to make you take a pretty girl that's dying for you.
But I have no affection for the lady.
And you have for Louisa, eh? Mm-hmm. But take my word for it, Antonio. You have no chance there. So you best secure the good that offers itself to you.
And could you reconcile it to your conscience to supplant your friend?
Mish! Conscience has no more to do with gallantry than it has to do with politics. Why, you are no true man if love cannot make a rogue of you. Come, take a look at her at least.
Well, I have no objection to that.
There she is over by the window. Get in, do. Oh. Now, Carlos, stay. I'll peep, see how they go on. Dad, he looks confoundedly posed. See how she's coaxing him. See, Carlos, he begins to come to...
Oh, look now, they're both laughing.
Yes, yes, they're both laughing at that dear friend of his he talked of.
Now he's kissing her hand.
Yes, yes, Faith, he's caught, he's entangled. My dear Carlos, we brought it about. Oh, this cunning little head. I'm a Machiavel, a very Machiavel. Now, Carlos, I shall hamper him.
You'll hamper him.
I'll hamper him. I'll watch him through the keyhole, and I'll see how they go on. See, Carlos, she is coaxing him.
What, coaxing him?
Yes, coaxing him. Oh, what a cunning rogue I am. Antonio's undone. It's a masterpiece of trickery.
Of trickery?
Of trickery. T'would take another Isaac to uncover my deceit. I carried off Louisa.
What, Louisa?
Yes, Louisa. And I've hampered him with Clara, so my cunning is complete. My blood runs cold, my blood runs hot. Kiss my skin, Miss Carey. This vial of beau delights me not, but here I meet Miss Carey. So far the cunning Portuguese has carried out his plan, and soon I'll have heaven please, a fortune and a man, a man.
Well, my good friend, this lady has so entirely convinced me of the certainty of your success at Don Jerome's that I now resign my pretensions.
Ah, you never did a wiser thing, believe me. And as for deceiving your friend, that's well. Oh, trickery is fair in love, isn't that so, madam?
Certainly, sir. And I am particularly glad to find that you were of that opinion.
Oh, love, yes. Let anyone deceive me that can, that's what I say. Let me join your hand.
Oh.
There, you lucky rose. I wish you happily married from the bottom of my soul.
And I'm sure if you wish it, no one else should prevent it.
Well, if you have the best of the bargain as to beauty, 20-1. Now I'll tell you a secret.
Yes?
I've carried off Louisa this very evening.
Indeed?
Yes, she's refused to take a husband from our father's hand, so I persuaded her to walk with me in the garden, and then we gave him the slip.
And is Don Jerome to know nothing of all this?
Oh, mercy, no. That would be to spoil all. By this means, you see, I secure her fortune without settling a ducat on her. I'm a cunning little devil, aren't I?
Oh, you are indeed. You are indeed a cunning little devil.
Roguish, you'll say, but keen, eh? Devilish keen.
Oh, so you are indeed. Keen, very keen.
What a laugh we shall have at Don Jerome's when the truth comes out.
Yes, I'll answer for it. We shall have a good laugh when the truth comes out.
Madam, will you excuse me?
Oh, willingly.
Antonio, I wish you all happiness. Oh, the blockhead. What a fool I've made of him.
Carlos, will you be my guard again and convey me to the convent of St. Catherine?
Oh, why, yes, certainly.
Louisa, why should you go there?
I have my reasons, and you must not be seen to go with me. I shall write from thence to my father. Perhaps when he finds what he has driven me to, he may relent.
I have no hope from him. Oh, Louisa, in these arms should be your sanctuary.
Be patient, but for a little while. My father cannot force me from thence, but let me see you there before evening, and I will explain myself.
I shall obey.
Come, friend. Antonio, Carlos has been a lover himself.
Then he knows the value of his trust.
Lady, you will not find me unfaithful.
Soft pity never leaves the breast when love has been a welcome guest. As saints that dwelling so
with Isaac Mendoza. What? Steal away with a man whom I wanted her to marry. Elope with her own husband. It's impossible.
Well, the maid says, sir, they left your library to go for a walk in the garden while you were away, and they've not been heard of since.
Well, it is a most unaccountable offense. There's certainly some infernal mystery in it I can't comprehend.
Here is a letter, sir, from Senior Isaac.
Yes, sorry. This will explain. Isaac Mendoza, let me see. Dearest sir, you must double. Double? What sure is double?
Doubtless.
Oh, doubtless. Be much surprised at my flight with your daughter. Yes, straight and well I may. I had the happiness to gain her heart at our first interview. The devil you had. But she having unfortunately made a vow not to receive a husband from your hands, I was obliged to comply with her whim. So, we shall shortly throw ourselves at your what is it?
Feet?
Oh, yes. And I hope you'll have a blessing ready for one, who will then be your son-in-law, Isaac Mendoza. A whim, eh? Why, the devil is in that girl, I think. This morning she would die sooner than have him, and before evening she runs off with him. Well, the will's accomplished, let the motive be what it will.
Sir, here is a letter from my young lady, Donna Louisa.
Yeah, how's that? Oh, it is my daughter's hand indeed. No, there was no occasion for them both to write. My dearest father, how shall I entreat your pardon for the rash step I have taken? How confess the motive? Hasn't Isaac just told me the motive? One would think they weren't together when they wrote. I am not married yet, though with a man. What was it? Though with a man, I'm convinced adores me. Yes, I dare say Isaac is very fond of her. But I shall anxiously expect your answer, which, should I be so fortunate as to receive your consent, you will make completely happy your ever affectionate daughter, Lou. Yeah, Lou? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Louisa. Consent? To be sure she shall have it. Egad, I was never better pleased. I have fulfilled my resolution. I knew I should. Oh, there's nothing like obstinacy. Lewis!
Yes, sir?
Let the man who brought the last letter wait and get me a pen and ink below. I'm impatient to set poor Louisa's heart at rest. Sancho!
Yes, sir?
See that there be a noble supper provided in the saloon tonight. Serve up me best wines and let me have music to hear.
Order
all my doors to be thrown open.
Yes,
admit all guests.
Yes, sir.
With masks or without masks.
Yes, sir.
If Faith will have a night of it, and I'll let him see how merry an old man can be.
What could you gather? No news of her, or guess that she had gone? Oh, Clara, Clara.
In truth, sir, I could not. That she'd run away from her father was in everybody's mouth, and that Don Guzman was in hot pursuit of her was also a very common report. Where she's gone, or what was become of her, no one could take it upon them to say.
Stress and fury, you blockhead. She can't be out of Seville.
So I said to myself, sir. Stress and fury, you blockhead, says I. She can't be out of Seville, says I. Then some said she'd hanged herself for love. And others have it Don Antonio carried her off.
False scoundrel, no one said that.
Oh, then I misunderstood them, sir.
Oh, go, fool, get home.
Yeah.
And never let me see you again until you bring me news of her.
All right, sir.
Oh, how my fondness for this ungrateful girl has hurt my disposition.
So I have Louisa safe. And have only to find a priest to marry us. Antonio now may marry Clara, or not as he pleases.
What was that you said of Clara?
Oh, Ferdinand, my brother-in-law that you be, who thought of meeting you.
What of Clara?
Faith, are you here? This morning as I was coming down, I met a pretty damsel who told me her name was Clara del Mantha, and begged my protection.
How?
She said she had eloped from her father, Don Guzman, but that love for a young gentleman in Seville was the cause.
Oh, heavens, did she confess?
Oh, yes, she confessed it at once, but then, says she, my lover is not informed of my flight, nor suspects my intention.
Oh, dear creature, no more. I did indeed. Oh, I'm the happiest fellow. Well, Isaac.
Oh, why, then she entreated me to find him out and bring him to her.
Good heavens, how lucky. Well, come along, let's lose no time.
Zooks, where are we to go?
Why, did anything more pass?
Anything more? Why, the end on it was that I was moved with her speeches and complied with her desire.
Well, and where is she?
Where is she? Why, don't I tell you? I complied with her request and left her safe in the arms of her lover.
Yes, you trifle me. I've never seen her.
You? Oh, love, no. How the devil should you? 'Twas Antonio she wanted, and with Antonio I left her.
What? Antonio de Silla?
Aye, the very man. And the best part of it was he was shy of taking her at first.
Oh.
He talked a good deal about honor and conscience and deceiving some dear friend. But laugh, we soon overruled that.
You did?
Oh, yes, presently. Such deceit, says he. Fish, says the lady, all trickery is fair in love. But then, my friend, says he. Pshaw, damn your friend, said I. So poor wretch, he has no chance. No, he may hang himself as soon as he pleases.
I must go or I shall betray myself.
Oh, but stay, Ferdinand. You haven't heard the best of the joke.
Curse on your joke.
Good lack. What's the matter now? I thought to have diverted you.
You rat, tortured and damned.
Ah, why, sure, you're not the poor devil of a lover, are you? Sure enough he is. This is a better joke than other.
What do you laugh, you vile, mischievous varlet? Must that you are beneath my anger, I tear your heart out.
Mercy. Here's usage for a brother-in-law.
But hark, you rascal. Tell me directly where these false friends are gone, or by my soul.
Why then, I believe they're gone to... That is my friend Carlos told me he's left.
Yes.
Donna Clara.
Yes.
Dear Ferdinand, keep your hands off. At the convent of St. Catherine.
St. Catherine.
Yes, and that Antonio was to come to her there.
Is this the truth?
It is indeed, and all I know is I hope for life.
Well, coward, take your life.
Ah.
Clara is not worth my resentment. Tis that false, dishonorable Antonio who shall feel my vengeance.
Aye, kill him, cut his throat and welcome.
But for Clara,
infamy on her. She's not worthy my resentment.
Ah, no more she is, dear brother-in-law. Faith, I would not be angry about her. She is not worth it, indeed.
It's false. She's worth the enmity of princes.
True, true, so she is, and I pity you exceedingly for having lost her.
Scarce, you rascal, how durst thou talk of pitying me?
Oh, dear brother-in-law, I beg pardon. I don't pity you in the least, upon my soul.
Oh, get hence, fool, and provoke me no further. Nothing but your insignificance saves you.
Oh, Faith. Then my insignificance is the best friend I have. Oh, what a cursed, hot-headed bully it is, to be sure.
Oh, Clara, Clara, and you really wish my brother may not find you out. Why else have I concealed myself under this disguise?
Why, perhaps because the dress becomes you. For you certainly don't intend to be a nun for life.
If indeed Ferdinand had not offended me so last night.
Come, come. It was his fear of losing you made him so rash.
Well, you may think me cruel, but I swear if he were here this instant, I believe I should forgive him.
By him we love offended, how soon our anger flies.
One day a party's ended, behold him ended nice.
Last night your roving brother, enraged like that before,
and sure his good redemption, desired to lose your mind.
Ready now before me, in spite of injured pride, I feel my eyes would burn before the sun would shine. Yet ready now before me, in spite of injured pride, I feel
test, Clara. I shall begin to think you are seriously resolved to enter on your probation.
And seriously, I very much doubt whether the character of a nun would not become the best.
Oh, why, to be sure, the character of a nun is a very becoming one at a masquerade. But no pretty woman in her senses ever thought of taking the veil for more than a night.
Yonder I see your Antonio is returned.
Oh, I shall only interrupt you. Oh, Louisa, with what happy eagerness you turn to look for him.
Well, my Louisa, any news since I left you?
None. The messenger is not yet returned from my father.
Well, I confess I do not perceive what we are to expect from him.
I shall be easier, however, in having made the trial.
But
I do not doubt your sincerity, Antonio, but there is a chilling air around poverty which often kills affections that were not nursed in it. If we would make love our household god, we had best secure him a comfortable room.
How oft, Louisa, hast thou told, nor canst thou this fond boast disown. Thou wouldst not lose Antonio's love, to reign the partner of a throne. And by those lips that spoke so kind, and by this hand I pressed to mine, to be the lord of wealth and power, by heavens I would not part with thine, by heavens I would not part with thine. Then how, my soul, can we be poor, who own what kingdoms cannot buy? Of this true heart thou shalt be queen, in serving thee a monarch I. Thus uncontrolled in mutual bliss, and rich in love's exhaustless mine, do thou snatch treasures from my lips, and I'll take kingdoms back from mine, and I'll take kingdoms back from thine.
letter is for you.
Oh, thank you. My father's answer, I suppose.
My dearest Louisa, you may be assured that it contains nothing but threats and reproaches.
Well, let us see, however. Dearest daughter, make your lover happy.
Happy?
You have my full consent to marry as your whim has chosen, but be sure to come home and sup with your affectionate father.
You jest, Louisa.
Oh, read, read.
By heaven, 'tis so. Sure, there must be some mistake. But that's none of our business. Now, Louisa, you have no excuse for delay.
Well, shall we not then return and thank my father?
But first, let the priest put it out of his power to recall his word. Come, there is a friar of a neighboring convent is my friend. I'll fly to procure him.
Nay, if you part from me again, you may lose them.
Lose you? Not while I have life.
Those yonder they go, as happy as a mutual and confessed affection can make them, while I am left in solitude. Hey-ho! Love may perhaps excuse the rashness of an elopement for one's friend, but I am sure that nothing but the presence of the man we love can support it. What do I see? Ferdinand, as I live! How could he gain admission? By potent gold, I suppose, as Antonio did. How eager and disturbed he seems. With my veil, he shall not know me as yet.
Yes, yes, there they are. Those are certainly they. My information was right.
Pray, senor, what is your business here?
Oh, no matter, no matter.
Stop. Is the perfidious Clara, indeed.
So a jealous error. I'm glad to see him so moved.
Oh, her disguise can't conceal her. Oh, no, no, I know her too well.
Wonderful discernment. But, senor...
Oh, be quiet, good nun, don't tease me.
Oh, sir.
By heaven, she leans upon his arm, hangs fondly on it. Oh, woman, woman.
But, senor, who is it you want?
Not you, so prithee, don't tease me.
Sir,
yet pray stay, gentlemen. Was it not Donna Clara Dalmantha just parted from you?
Clara Dalmantha, senor, is not yet out of the garden.
Oh, I knew I was right. And pray, is not that gentleman now the porch with her, Antonio de Silla?
It is indeed, senor.
So now, one question more. Can you inform me for what purpose they have gone away?
They are going to be married, I believe.
Very well. Enough. Now, if I don't mar their wedding.
I thought jealousy had made lovers quick-sighted, but it has made mine blind. Louisa's story accounts to me for this error, and I'm glad to find I have power enough over him to make him so unhappy. But why should not I be present at his surprise when I'm deceived? When he's through the porch, I'll follow him. And perhaps Louisa shall not singly be a bride. Oh, happy place I fly, this God's a throne. I fly this throne. I fly this
my friend Isaac.
Oh, Aunt Antonio, wish me joy. I have Louisa safe.
Have you? I wish you joy with all my soul.
Yes, I'm come here to procure a priest to marry us.
So then we are both on the same errand. I am come to look for Father Paul.
Well, he must take me first. My love is waiting.
So is mine. I left her in the porch.
Aye, but I'm in haste to get back to Don Giro.
And so am I, too.
Well, perhaps you make haste to marry us both together. I can be your father and you can be mine, but you're obliged to me for all this.
Oh, yes, yes.
Hello, tell Father Paul we are here.
Yes, sir.
This one's the son of a table, his name's a rosy wine. These planets that are not able without his help to shine. Let mirth and glee abound, let mirth and glee abound. We'll soon grow bright with borrowed light and shine as he goes round. Let mirth and glee abound, let mirth and glee abound. We'll soon grow bright on borrowed light, shine as he goes round.
This
speak with you, Father.
Then pray show me where I am wanted.
Meanwhile, coming this same Father Paul, he's detained at his devotions, I suppose, poor fellow.
Yes, yes. No, here he comes now. Good Father Paul, I crave your blessing.
Yes, good Father Paul, we are come to beg a favor.
What is it they bring?
To marry us, good Father Paul.
Eh?
And the truth, thou dost look the very priest of my men.
Well, in short, I may be called so, for I deal in repentance and mortification.
Ah, no, thou seemest the priest of high men, because thy presence speaks content and good cheer.
Alas, my appearance is deceitful. Bloated I am indeed, for fasting is a windy recreation. It has swollen me like a bladder.
Yeah, but thou hast a good fresh color in thy face, Father. Rosy, I think.
Yes, as I have blushed for mankind, till the hue of my shame is as fixed as their vices.
Ah, good man.
Yes, and I have labored too, but to what effect? They continue to sin under my very nose.
Effects, Father, I should have guessed as much, for your nose seems more put to the blush than any other part of your face.
Yes, you too, you're a wag. But to the purpose, Father, will you officiate for us?
Well, to join young people thus clandestinely in marriage is not safe. And indeed, I have it in my heart many weighty reasons against it.
And I have it in my hand many weighty reasons for it. Isaac, haven't you an argument or two in our favor about you?
Yes, here is a most unanswerable verse.
Oh, for shame, you make me angry. You forget who I am. And when importunate people have forced their trash into this pocket here?
Yes.
Or into that one there?
There?
Yes. Why, then, the sin was theirs.
Now then, come with us.
Aye, now give us your title to joy and rapture.
Well, when your hour of repentance comes, don't blame me.
No bad caution to my friend Isaac. Well, Father Paul, do you do your part, and I'll abide the consequence.
Aye, and so will I.
Antonio. Oh, Antonio, Ferdinand is at the porch and inquiring for us.
Ferdinand? He's not inquiring for me, I hope.
Fear not, my love. I'll soon pacify
him. No, you won't. You may stay if you will, but I'll get somebody else to marry me, for he shall never catch me again while I'm the master of a pair of heels.
So, sir, I have met with you at last.
Well, Ferdinand.
Base, treacherous man.
What?
Whence can a false, deceitful soul like yours borrow confidence to look so steadily on the man you've injured?
Ferdinand, you are too warm. 'Tis true you find me on the point of wedding one I love beyond my life, but no argument of mine prevailed on her to elope. Why, heavens, I knew not she'd left her father's until I saw her.
What a mean excuse. You've wronged your friend, then, for one whose wanton forwardness anticipated your treachery. Of this, Isaac Mendoza informed me. But let your conduct be consistent, and since you have dared do a wrong, follow me. And show you have spirit to avow it.
Antonio, I perceive his mistake. Leave him to me.
Friend, you're very rude to interrupt the union of two willing hearts.
No, meddling priest, the hand she seeks is mine.
If so, I'll proceed no further. Lady, did you ever promise this youth your hand? Nay, then fie on for shame.
Clara, I thank you for your silence. I would not have heard your tongue avow such falsity. Be it your punishment to remember I have not reproached you. Antonio, you are protected now, but we shall meet.
Louisa, what mockery is this? Shall we unveil?
Yes.
Let us reveal ourselves.
Ferdinand. Turn and behold the one you adore.
Thank you.
good brother.
Oh, what impiety! Did the man want to marry his own sister? I'll have none of that.
And aren't you ashamed of yourself not to know your own sister?
To drive away your own mistress?
Ferdinand, don't you see how jealousy blinds people?
Aye, and will you ever be jealous again?
Oh, never, never. You, sister, I know, will forgive me, but how, Clara, shall I presume?
No, no. Just now, you told me not to tease you. Hmm? Remember? Who do you want, good senor?
Not you, not you.
Oh, no, you blind wretch. But swear never to be jealous again, and I'll forgive you.
By all the
power... that will do. You'll keep the oath just as well.
But, brother, here is one to whom some apology is due.
Antonio, I'm ashamed to say...
Not a word of excuse, Ferdinand. I have not been in love myself without learning that a lover's anger should never be resented. But come, let us retire with this good father, and we'll explain to him the cause of this error.
Servants have on their merriest faces, but tell them to get as little drunk as possible till after supper. So, Lopez, where's your master? Shan't we have him at supper?
Indeed, I believe not, sir. He's mad, I doubt.
Aye, he's out some wench, I suppose. A young rake. Well, we'll be merry without him.
Oh, sir, here comes Senor Isaac.
Ah, so, my dear son-in-law there. Take my blessing and forgiveness. But where's my daughter? Where's Louisa?
Oh, she's without, impatient for a blessing, but almost afraid to enter.
Oh, fly and bring her in, poor girl. I long to see her pretty face.
Come then, my charmer. Come, my little trembling angel.
Come to me, arms, me. Why are you the devil are we here?
Nay, now, Jerome, you promised her forgiveness. See how the dear creature droops.
Droops, indeed. My God, take me. This is old Margaret. But where's my daughter? Where's Louisa?
Why, here before your eyes. Nay, don't be abashed, my sweet wife.
No. Wife with a vengeance? Why, soon you're not married to the duenna.
Oh, dear papa, you'll not disown me, sure.
My soons, your impudence is as great as your ugliness.
Rise, my charmer, go throw your snowy arms about his neck and convince him you are...
Oh, sir, forgive me.
Help, murder! Why have you brought this old harridan to strangle me?
Lord, it is his own daughter, and he's so hard-hearted he won't forgive her.
Don Gino?
Zooms and fury! What's here now? Who sent for you, sir, and who the devil are you?
This lady's husband, yes, sir.
Aye, that he is, I'd be bound, for I left them with the priest and was to have given her away.
You were?
Aye, that's my old friend Antonio, and that's a little girl, Donna Clara, I told you I'd hampered him with.
Well, you're either drunk or mad. This is my daughter, Louisa.
Oh, no, it is. You are both drunk and mad, I think. This is your daughter.
This? Ah, ye old iniquity. Will you explain all this or not?
Come then, Don Jerome, I will. Though our habits might inform you all. Look on your daughter, there, and on me.
What is I hear?
The truth is that this morning, in your passion, you made a small mistake. For you turned your daughter out of doors and locked up your humble servant.
Oh, Lord. Oh, lad, he's a pretty fellow to turn his only daughter out of doors instead of the old duenna.
And oh, lad, he's a pretty fellow to marry an old duenna instead of my daughter. But how came the rest about?
I have only to add that I remained in your daughter's place and had the good fortune to engage the affections of my sweet husband here.
Husband? Ah, ye old witch.
Do you think I'll be your husband now? This is all a trick, a cheat, and you ought all to be ashamed of yourselves.
Hark ye, Isaac, do you dare to complain of tricking?
Yes.
Don Jerome, I give you my word, this cunning Portuguese has brought all this upon himself.
Yes.
By endeavoring to overreach you, but getting your daughter's fortune and making no settlement in return.
You overreach me?
You do indeed, sir, and we can prove it to you.
Why, Ged, take me, it must be so, or I could never have put up with such a face as Margaret. So, little Solomon, I wish you joy on your wife for all my soul.
Isaac, tricking is all fair in love, as you know, for the flock.
A cunning dog, aren't you? A sly little villain.
Roguish perhaps, but keen, devilish keen.
Yes, yes, his aunt always called him little Solomon.
The plagues of Egypt upon you all. I'll not endure this. Don Jerome, tis you have done this. You'll be so cursed positive about the beauty of her you locked up. And all the time I told you she was as old as my mother and as ugly as the devil.
Why, you little insignificant reptile.
That's right, attack him, Margaret.
Yeah, such a thing as you pretend to talk of beauty. A walking rulo. A body that seems to owe all its consequences to the dropsy. A pair of eyes like two dead beetles and a wad of brown dough. A beard like an artichoke with dry, shriveled jaws that would disgrace the mummy of a monkey.
Well done, Margaret.
But you shall know that I have a brother who wears a sword, and if you don't do me justice...
I seize your brother and you too. I'll fly to Jerusalem to avoid you.
I will, I'll follow you.
Throw your snowy arms about him, Margaret. Oh, but Louisa, you're not really married to this modest gentleman, are you?
Sir, in obedience to your commands, I gave him my hand within this hour. Yeah,
my commands?
Yes, sir. Here is your consent under your own hand.
How? Would you rob me of my child by trick or false pretense? And you think you'd get your fortune by the same means? Why, life, you're as great a rogue as Isaac.
No, Don Jerome, though I have profited by this paper in gaining your daughter's hand, I scorn to obtain her fortune by deceit. Now, give her your blessing for a dower, and all the little that I possess shall be settled on her in return. Had you wedded her to a prince, he could do no more.
Why, God take me, but you're a very extraordinary fellow. But have you the impudence to suppose no one can do a generous action but yourself here, Louisa? Tell this proud fool of yours that he's the only man I know that would renounce your fortune, and by my soul, he's the only man in Spain that's worthy of it.
Oh.
Bless you both. I'm an obstinate old fool. I know that I'm in the wrong, but you shall now find me as steady in the right.
Father!
Ferdinand! Why, you've not stolen none, have you?
No. Sir, she is a nun in nothing but a habit. Look nearer, and you will perceive 'tis Clara Dalmantha, Don Guzman's daughter, and with pardon for stealing a wedding, she is also my wife.
Gad, but in a great fortune. Ferdinand, you're a prudent young rogue, and I forgive you. And if you're a pretty little damsel, give your father in order a kiss, you smiling rogue.
There, old gentleman.
Oh.
Now, mind you behave well to us.
Effects those lips hadn't been chilled by kissing beads. Again! I believe I shall grow the best human fellow in Spain. Luis, Sancho, Carlos, and all my doors thrown open. Our children's weddings are the only holidays our age can boast. And then we drain with pleasure the little stock of spirits time has left us. But see, here come our friends and neighbors. Any faith, we'll make a night on. We'll wine and dance and catches. Then old and young shall join us.
Thank you. Richard Brinsley Sheridan, the part of Lopez, was played by Andrew Sachs. Don Antonio by Dennis Quilly. Juan Carlos, Gordon Faith. Donna Luisa, Jane Wenham. Don Jerome, Alan Dudley. Don Ferdinand, Mary Ingham. Duenna, Betty Huntley Wright. Peter, Valerie Kirkbright. Donna Clara, Patricia Routledge. Isaac Mendoza, Peter Pratt. Father Paul, Aubrey Woods. With the John McCarthy Singers. The music, which was specially composed by Julian Slade, was played by the Sinfonia of London and conducted by Marcus Dodds. The program, which was recorded, was adapted and produced by Peter Bryant.